Welcome to the Home Hour. I'm Kirsten.
And I'm Graham. And this podcast is the home ec class you wish you'd been offered.
We're two moms aspiring to create gracious homes that are welcoming and functional, all while dealing with real life schedules, budgets, and children.
Stick with us and we'll share and show what we know, what we've learned, where we've messed up, and how to fix it.
For everything we can't make up, we'll bring in the best experts we can find. You're listening to the Home Hour, part of the Life Listen Network.
On today's episode, we're talking birth trauma and gardening. I know. Stick with us. It'll all become clear in a minute.
We're going behind the scenes and introducing you to a woman whose lawsuit made national headlines and is changing the way we look at childbirth.
We'll hear her incredible story of pain, fighting for justice, and how her decision to start a garden not only changed her yard, but her entire outlook on life. Oh, and we learned that mature male urine is a super important component in gardening. All that and more on this week's episode of The Home Hour. Welcome home.
Welcome home, Graham.
Welcome home, Kirsten.
And welcome, everyone, to The Home Hour. Oh, guys, you know how pretty much every episode we say, it's an exciting day. We've got a great guest. They all are. But today, I really think it might be my favorite podcast we've ever done. I had so much fun doing this interview.
Well, yeah, we've been practicing this interview for 20 years. So basically, we're bringing on our college roommate. And you guys are like, everyone out there listening is probably thinking, well, they're really scraping the bottom of the barrel. I don't know how much longer this show is going to go on. But we promise we just happen to know some interesting people, as we all do. Let's be honest. I mean, I think that's what drives most of the world to listen to, humans of New York. Just everyone has a neat story. Everyone has a cool story. The more you get to know someone, the more you learn that everyone's valuable and has something interesting to say. That being said, our college roommate, Caroline Malatesta, who's a guest on our show today, actually, she just, like, where she goes, drama and action and craziness follows.
Seriously, she's a fascinating person. We're going to tell you a little bit more about Caroline in a minute, but we have a sponsor this show.
Oh,
we would like to introduce
sponsor.
You to an amazing partner. We have a great, great deal we have for our listeners. It's a good one.
Yeah. So we've partnered with Annie's Kid Clubs. And what they do is they kind of make it easy for your kids to become builders and crafters and makers with different crafting and woodworking kits that they have, basically geared toward children ages 7 to 12. And we had the opportunity to try Annie's Kit Club. They sent us each a kit. Kirsten got the crafting one. I got the woodworking one. And while my children are a little bit younger than the wheelhouse of ages 7 to 12, it was just delightful. I mean, I don't know if any of you out there have experienced kind of one of those, you know, crafting kits or box kits. We actually get a different company that someone sent us. And I almost feel as if those were a little bit more contrived compared to what we got with Annie's kit. My children opened it and it almost seemed as if a wonderful person put something custom together for my children. We got real tools, real screwdrivers and real measuring tape and real rulers. I mean, honestly, I kind of felt like I stocked my own personal woodworking, my own personal tool closet.
Your toolbox
after getting
is not
this.
Complete.
Yeah. And we built something. We actually built something out of wood and it was serious and it was a real project. It was something Boy Scouts would do. You know, like I could picture my family getting together like for a Boy Scout meeting and this is something we would do. And we had a good time and it took up 2 hours and it was a fun 2 hours. I'm sure you could have done it faster, but remember, I'm dealing with a five-year-old and most of the time was spent saying, don't touch the glue. Don't touch the glue. Please don't touch the glue.
Well, and it was 2 hours not spent on the iPad.
Which is huge. Yes,
which is huge. Yeah. Can I get an Annie's kit every day, please? Yeah, we did the Creative Girls Club and it was really fun. It was so awesome because everything I needed, as opposed to something maybe you'd find on Pinterest or whatever, everything I needed was in the kit. It wasn't like, oh gosh, if only we had a paintbrush. Nope, the paintbrush came. And then when it was done, I didn't have to store a bunch of stuff either. I got to move on to the next project. So anyway, let's give you guys the details on this because it's a really great deal. Well, basically every 4 to 6 weeks, your child will receive for the Creative Girls 2 craft projects along with all the materials needed to complete them. But when you sign up with this deal, Annie's will send the first 2 kits for only $1.99 each, plus postage and processing. That's 80% off the member price. And then about every 6 weeks, they'll send you 2 more exciting new kits for only $9.99 each, plus the postage and processing. For the woodworkers, every month your child will receive a high-quality kind of all-in-one project kit and a child-sized hammer with their first shipment. And
the hammer was awesome, by the way.
You're kind of bragging about your hammer.
It was a great hammer. I think I bought worst hammers at Home Depot. It was really good.
Well, for this kit, you pay only $9.99 plus postage and processing for the first kit. And that's a 50% discount. And then they'll automatically receive a brand new kit about every month for $19.99 plus processing and postage. And basically, at the end of the first three shipments, you'll receive 5 free tools. So it's pretty great. So there's no promo code needed. What you're going to need to do, though, is head to annieskitclubs.com/life. That's annieskitclubs.com/life. I know it's a little bit confusing with the 80% off and the 50% off. They're different materials and such. So if you want more details, go ahead and just go to our website, thehomehour.com. All the Life Listen shows are going to have this great promo. So again, Annie's Kit Club.com/life. We'll put it on Instagram as well. But anyway, give them a try. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed. And if you need to cancel your membership for any reason, you know, no big deal. So go ahead and give it a try. Okay.
Thank you, Annie's.
Thanks for that great deal for our listeners. Okay. So back to explaining what our listeners are about to hear.
Well, they're about to hear a very real person. I think we get a lot of people who write in and say, it's nice. It sounds like we know you. We feel like we're friends. So here you go. Here's another genuine friend. I mean, she is a friend. So if you listen and you think, wow, these people are really ragging on someone who's been through a massive trauma, know that it's coming from a place of love. Those are the bonds of friendship, you know, that bring you deeper and allow you to, you know, to laugh about things over time that are tricky and painful. And what's really powerful is Caroline's story about gardening, because she's always thrown herself into many things, but really gardening brought her kind of a renewed sense of joy. And she'll talk about that. And it might be inspirational for any of you out there who are, you know, going through anything, any issue, just to pick up a hobby and to really just dive into it. And there's just something about watching things grow and thrive and being able to nourish things that really is restorative in so many ways. So.
Right. And Caroline's also a beautiful photographer. We need to send her out to her garden and we're going to have her take some beautiful pictures, because we can describe this thing to you. And I'm sure people are listening thinking like, oh, that's nice. That's nice that she's found gardening. Like, this is like, she could charge admission to this garden. I mean, it is just phenomenal. It is an art. It is a science. It is a lifestyle. Like, she is, I've never seen a home gardener who has produced such, it's a thing of beauty. I'm so overwhelmed by this garden. So we'll have some pictures so you guys can get the visual. But a quick little production note is we had some audio issues for the first 4 or so minutes. So please bear with us through that. It's not terribly distracting, but there's a slight echo with Graham and Caroline. So if you can just stick with us through those first few minutes, we'd appreciate that, because it goes away.
And then it's smooth sailing. All right, everyone. Enjoy Caroline and welcome home.
Welcome home. Okay, welcome to the Home Hour, Caroline. We're so happy to finally get you on the show. This is a really, really fun special episode for us.
Hi, Kirsten. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I wish I were in Birmingham with you guys. Okay, so Caroline, we've introduced you to our listeners and told you a little bit about your story. But I think first things first, Caroline, why don't you introduce yourself and tell everyone how you met us?
How I met y'all. Okay. Well, I'm Caroline Malatesta, and I'm from Birmingham, and I met you two, Kirsten and Graham, in college, and we ended up being college roommates, and now Graham and I live in Birmingham.
And that is hard for me.
Yeah, it is hard for you. But I mean, let's be honest, like, I probably wouldn't live in Birmingham if it weren't for Caroline. I mean, technically.
Do you really want to hear the whole story? I could tell the whole story.
There's too much editing that we would need.
There's a lot of background here. But needless to say, I may or may not have met my husband, because my husband may or may not have been flirting with Caroline. And so, long story short, so many years later, 2 children and many years in Birmingham, I'm now here. So, yeah, we go back a long time.
Yes, I think we're now in a 20-year friendship. But despite the fact that we are so close and we've known each other for so long, I had a friend call me out of the blue and say, hey, you know your friend Caroline, who I've met like once or twice? I said, yeah. And they said, I think she's on the cover of Yahoo News. I think she's on their homepage. And I'm like, what? Why? And lo and behold, Alabama mom awarded $16 million in a lawsuit. And Caroline, you are one of those people we know and love well enough to just call you now, like, our super crazy rich dudes. Friend.
Love you guys.
Caroline, you should share your money with us. Like, that's really what we're on.
Do you want to sponsor
okay,
the whole
you're
hour?
Now making me uncomfortable.
Okay, let's.
I'm officially uncomfortable.
Oh, you've been uncomfortable for years. We always take you to new places where you're uncomfortable.
You do.
We do. Remember when we started making you wear like
so many life lessons, for better or for worse.
Not to go out on a Saturday night in track shorts. Like we've always steered you right, Caroline. Listen to us.
You always have.
But the thing we love about Caroline, I must say, is when I met her, I think I was 18, coming from New York, and her maiden name was Dumas, right? And so she actually, I think, was driving a car that had like Dumas on the license plate, and it was an Alabama. What was it? An Alabama?
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it definitely
no vanity
did.
Plates for me.
I think it had Dumas on the back, didn't it? And it was like, who is the dumbass from Alabama? And lo and behold, best friends,
probably
of course.
Like an old shirt.
But what I'm getting at, right, Caroline has always carried a plastic bag as her handbag and like a bag you get from a supermarket. And I think you still do that. Pretty much.
Sometimes.
Yeah, and it's
sometimes.
Genius. And it's actually, I've done it myself a few times. Like, there's nothing better than just carrying your junk around in, like, a Walmart bag.
As I was saying, all that money is being wasted.
That you gave me, though. Like,
buy yourself a good purse, lady. Okay, so, Caroline, let's go
That's
back to the
Graham's
beginning.
That's what Graham's supposed to do for me and then hand it down to me when it's no longer fashionable enough.
Right. Oh, I remember when I met you and I was wearing some kind of in style. It was right when capri pants came out, and you looked at my pants and kind of squinting your little trademark squint, and you said, "Are those them new fashionable pants?"
I did not.
Yes, you did. And I said, and I said, yeah. And you said, "Oh, I don't wear any new fashions. I just wear what people give me when they're not in style anymore."
Probably did.
Oh my god! So, wait, can I just tell our listeners?
That's why I have stylish friends.
This is amazing for someone who does not care at all. Caroline is like probably the most drop dead gorgeous person I know, and she always somehow magically in a closet full of just who knows where these clothes came from. Not even her size. Maybe Graham. Maybe people just drop off bags for their height that their high schoolers no longer interested in. And Caroline. Always is just beautiful and amazing. So it's like honestly magic. Like she's got like some magic stuff going on over there. But anyway, we're not here to talk about fashion, although we should do a whole nother podcast on Caroline's awesome fashion. But
this really is a treat for us. This is a fun trip down memory lane. Like
it
honestly,
totally is.
I mean, truly, Caroline's a good guest, but like we just like to commandeer her whenever we possibly can. But she tolerates us.
But yes, but we want to hear your story, Caroline. And I know you feel a little bit uncomfortable sharing your story and you don't want it to be about you. You're really doing this fight for, you know, you consider this a really big women's issue. And I know that this is something that's larger than you, but you know, you're kind of the face of it now. And we want to hear your story. So walk us through. You had three great normal births and three happy, healthy babies. And then you got pregnant for the fourth time. Is that a good place to start?
Sure. Yeah. I had, I would say great normal. They were wonderful births. They were your typical medicalized birth. You know, I look back and I think there were probably risks I took, but everything ended up fine. And I have very fond memories from those births. I got pregnant the fourth time. And that's when I started realizing from my friends around the country were starting to have babies. You guys were having babies. And, I started realizing there are a lot of different ways that you can give birth and that birth is handled. And in Alabama, we just don't have options, especially 10 years ago when I had my first baby or almost 12. And so that's when I decided that I was going to have a natural birth. And I would not even say, I want to say, first of all, I'm not a natural birth advocate. I am a advocate for evidence-based birth and women's choices in their birth. But that's when I decided that I was going to have a natural birth, and a local Birmingham hospital was advertising and targeting those women because, you know, that was a growing market and they were in the midst of a fierce competition with a local hospital. And these are their words that they were trying to capture and cater to these women.
Right. And Caroline, just to put this in perspective, your dad is a physician. You're not anti-medicine or anti-hospitals or anti-doctors.
No, not at all.
And you were, I mean, you were always like also like open to, you know, eating organic and kind of being, you know, wellness and health in all ways. But I never considered you like totally out there on the hippy-dippy spectrum. You were pretty mainstream.
You never ate your placenta.
No.
No, but that would be the choice of some. And that's
cool. No, I'm just trying to let people know who you are.
Okay. Yes. No, that would not be, you know, really the reason I think had I had a horrible medicated birth, you know, my perception of it would be colored. Mine were so perfectly wonderful that I didn't have a negative perception of a medicalized birth. I just saw my births were so easy that it seemed very unnecessary. And I just, you know, wanted to let nature do its thing. And because this hospital was advertising it, my doctor clearly said to me that I had taken unnecessary risks on behalf of me and my baby, and that letting nature take its course would be the safest thing. So, you know, that was serious to me. And that's why I decided to do it.
And by the fourth baby, they basically come like flying out of the toaster oven. Like
they fall
across.
Out, right?
Right. So you were really thinking this was going to be like a trip down easy street.
I was talking on the telephone about 10 minutes before my baby was born.
So, who were you talking to?
I was telling my doula who I had hired a doula, and I was telling her she might as well come on to the hospital and meet me. Or I was telling her I'd just arrived at the hospital and to meet me there. I had just not seen it necessary at home because I slept through my whole labor. Again, a fourth time labor.
Right.
So you have a high pain tolerance.
No, I have a very low pain tolerance, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, tell us.
She lived with you for years and years. Her pain tolerance is pretty darn high, but maybe in a different way. Okay.
This is so delightful.
It is so delightful. I miss you guys. Okay. So Caroline, now is where the story really becomes, takes a turn. And why don't you just tell everyone what happened?
Okay. I'll try and tell it somewhat briefly. But so I started having contractions the night he was born. I labored at home. I stayed at home. I think my contractions were like 20 minutes apart. I finally decided to go in because I thought my water had broken, but it hadn't. So we went to the hospital, told my doula to meet us there. And when we arrived at the hospital, my nurse told me to get in bed, because they needed to strap on the monitors and to use the restroom beforehand because I might not be able to get out of bed for the rest of my labor, depending on the doctor's orders. And I had gone through the whole effort during my pregnancy of swapping hospitals from the one I had had my first three babies in, and you know, based on their marketing and their promises, I had researched birth. So I had a very specific plan that I had discussed with my doctor, and my doctor told me was safest based on medical evidence. And that plan involved walking around, it involved using the wireless monitors that were promised in the marketing. And they clearly said in the marketing that for the, quote, duration of your labor, you could walk around. So I remember thinking, oh, my gosh, I was in such shock about how different what this nurse was saying, how different it was from the marketing, that I just almost felt like, have I walked into the wrong hospital? And so I started saying, well, my doctor told me I could walk around. Why do I have to do this? And she made it very clear that she was not going to answer questions. She wanted me on the bed, in the bed, on my back, strapped to the monitors for continuous monitoring. And so we're going back and forth for a while, and I'm very frustrated, telling her I need to get off my back. I need to get off my back. Finally, I felt a really big contraction coming on. I realized my water exploded everywhere, and I realized that the baby was coming out, and I flipped to my hands and knees and said, I can't do this on my back anymore, and he's coming out. And she grabbed my hand and flipped me over. It's hard to describe. And she pulled my hand out from under me, so I fell on my back, and I flipped over, and then I was trying to get back on my back, and I had my foot up on her shoulder and the side of her neck, like, fighting her. The baby's coming out during this process, and another nurse is holding the baby's head in, And they're waiting for the doctor to get there. And then the doctor arrived and the baby was born immediately when they let go of his head. And in that whole process, I sustained a very, very serious injury. Fortunately, my baby was okay, even though they put him at risk too, but I was not.
Right. So the positive of this is that you have a precious little boy who is healthy. And
thank God, yes.
You know, thank God that he is good, which is obviously the silver lining in all of this. But what you had to go through to get that healthy baby and what you had to go through unnecessarily is really the heartbreak there.
Well, and this is like life. I mean, these are lifelong scars that were, this is a trauma that you'll carry forever. I mean, this has been years. How old your son now is?
Is almost 6 years old. And let me say that my story, I actually have written it out in a much more articulate way on Birth Monopoly's website. If you just Google Birth Monopoly and Caroline, you'll find it. But
yes, and we'll link to all of the links.
Yeah,
regarding
I tried to sum it up. That's a much better.
Right, right. But for those people listening who want to just hear the story, that's pretty much the story. And of course, we'll link to all of your articles and so the publicity around the trial, all of that on our website, thehomeair.com. But so, Caroline, do you want to talk about what the last few years have been like for you? And let's start right after the birth. I mean, I remember seeing you at a wedding. And we were like, Caroline, like, we've heard enough. Like, we don't want to talk about your private parts anymore. Like, we are here for a wedding.
Oh, gosh. I forget. I think the whole way home, I was Googling what was wrong, and I kept landing on my condition, but it actually took 8 months to be diagnosed.
Yeah. Oh, well, we were avoiding you. It was all you would talk about.
I was scared to death about it. It wasn't pretty, you know? And I was,
oh, no. We
I was
know,
like asking
you told
questions
us all
like, wait,
details.
Did this happen to you? Did this happen? You know, like, wait, did you, you know, and I'll spare your audience the things I was asking you. But
no, but it's interesting.
Long story short, it was not happening. I mean, like, other women had not sustained this injury.
Right.
So,
well, and also it's a little known condition. I mean, it's little known, but it's not covered by insurance. It's not even recognized by medical insurance. I mean, for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, some of it is. For the most part, it's the real treatments and surgeries are not.
Right. And so let's talk about what your life was like. I mean, I remember running into you like a year afterwards. And Caroline, like, you were just, I mean, dangerously thin. Like, I had never seen you.
Yeah.
And Caroline is a slim woman who's always been fit, always been a healthy eater. But this was like beyond like, oh, you look slim and good. It was like unhealthy skinny.
It was like I didn't have the energy to walk around the block once because I didn't have the muscles or the strength to do that.
I remember.
So that would be unhealthy.
I remember. I knew Caroline was gone too far when I was like, I've got to get her a Salisbury steak.
I went
to a meet in three and I was like,
I had to wear children's clothes. I could not wear women's clothes anywhere. I think Anthropology, the smallest of the smallest sizes, were maybe a couple I could wear.
And that's because of the medication, the pain medication.
That was because I was so weak and my muscles had atrophied so much. And I was in so much pain that I was just like in agony all day and wasn't able to eat.
Wait, because you were still in pain from the birth? Or because you were taking medicine to deal with
it? I lived in bed for months.
No, no, I know, but were you in bed because of the medicine or because of the pain or both?
The pain, both, really. I mean, it's the pain, you know, I would be bedridden from pain and then I would take some medicine and sometimes that would help the pain and knock me out, you know. I mean, I was bedridden for one or the other.
And I mean, I think another really hard part of this was like that you had these four. I mean, Caroline's family is beautiful. You see a picture of this family and you're like, oh, they're like the perfect, you know, family. They're just, everyone's so beautiful and healthy and great. And then here's this mom who is supposed to be in that crazy time of life where she is just running with toddlers and babies. And you couldn't parent. Like, you lied in bed. Your husband had to parent, your mom had to parent. And you just, like, you, do you feel like you missed a portion of parenting?
I mean, yes and no. Obviously, I did some deep soul searching during that time. It was a very, very hard time. I mean, I feel like it's just part of my life story. Yes, I feel like I missed. I was very fortunate. We actually had to move in with my parents because I was so debilitated that I needed care as well as my four children who were five or six.
Little.
Four children, five or six and under at the time. And so I was very grateful that I had my mother to take care of them and, you know, a very supportive husband. But Yeah, it hasn't been perfect, and it's definitely there's been some time to make up with my children.
But there's redemption now.
There I think is we redemption,
right? So let's so
right.
yeah. So we've told
I think,
the story.
I think we get to that because she's sitting in this poor dark closet, and I'm sitting here like just wanting to give her a hug, being like, "Shut this down." Shut. Mm-hmm. And I know this story very well. Like Caroline's one of my best and oldest friends, and it's like,
wait, do a timeout. You're in the closet with her. Give her a hug because I do too. Just
do too.
We'll deal with like, the bad audio, and you know I'm not a hugger. I mean, but Caroline, here's the thing. There is obviously you are still dealing with pain. You are still dealing with the repercussions of this today, but. Mm-hmm. There has been a change in you, and mm-hmm. and it's like I've never believed this was possible. This sounded so far out there to me, but you're like, my garden saved my life. And I was like, what is Caroline even talking about? And then I go to Caroline's house and I see literally, I mean,
it's like Eden. It really is like Eden. I mean,
I have,
how about this? If anyone goes to thehomehour.com and just looks, there's a picture of me and Kirsten in a garden. It's taken amidst like Caroline's boxes of like vegetation that she grows. And
no, I'm going to have Caroline take some more pictures and we're going to put them in the show notes. Y'all have never seen anything like this. I mean, do schools call you to do like field trips at your house? It is incredible what you have built.
You know, I'm actually going to teach at my kids go to a public school, but I'm actually going to teach a garden class to a kindergarten.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
That's at I believe it's a Montessori school or one of those where they're a little more flexible with their, you know, with their teaching.
What you can do.
Okay, so Caroline, how did this start? How did this gardening start? I mean, how do you go from I really can't walk around the block to I'm going to build the world's most beautiful functioning garden and only feed my family from it? I mean, incredible.
So basically I've always wanted to garden. In high school, I grew African violets in my windowsill. And I've just always had an interest in it. I believe those, interest inventory type tests you take in high school, it said I was going to be a farmer or it recommended that. We happened to be moving just around the time that like the legal stuff was going on. And, we built our house. Actually, a friend built it because I was not even healthy enough to be involved. But we had a large amount of space drawn out for gardens. I think I have almost 400 square feet of garden bed space plus containers and other little nooks and crannies in my yard. So we had that drawn into the space. And this was after the period where I was so sick that I literally couldn't get out of bed. I was starting to, I had found some treatments that were working. I was not very strong, but I started gardening in this new house, and I found that as I was going through the, frankly, the trauma of the litigation process, because when you're up against a big corporate bully, it's just for the most personal thing that's happened to your life. It's very, very, it's as traumatic as the birth was.
Wait, how long was this trial? We totally glossed over the trial. How long was the trial?
Well, I was injured and then I was injured. When Jack was, well, a few months later, the nerve tried to grow back, and it the nerve pain really set off about 8 months after he was born. A lawsuit was filed 2 years after he was born, and then two and a half years after that, we went to trial. So it was a long process.
And how many days were you actually in court?
It was 2 solid weeks.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
And it's hard to listen to attorneys and all these people who is just part of their job and they go home to their families and normal lives, you know, talking about what you had a right to do and the choices you had a right to make or didn't have a right to make regarding your body and your birth, you know, because this is my life. So it was just very hard to hear them trying to blame me for what happened and.
Right. So in these whole 2.5 years, while you're prepping for those 2 weeks and while you're sort of almost like in rehearsal for these 2 grueling weeks, like that's the part I think people forget is there's like you probably had mock interviews and, you know, preparation and all these other things for years. And so that during that point is when you started this gardening process.
Yes. Yeah, so the litigation process, it's slow. It's painful. You know. It's emotionally, I was very, my lawyer was wonderful about letting me really be a part of it. And that was very healing to me and be an active participant in, the legal process. So I was very well aware of, you know, all the briefs that were filed, all the this and that. I was very well aware of those. And it was a very frustrating process. And I found that when I went out into the garden, all of my frustrations literally disappeared while I was in the garden. So if I had something that was just too emotional for me to handle or too angering or too frustrating for me to handle, I went out into the garden and there was always something to do in the garden. And my family realized, don't mess with Caroline. If she needs to garden, that is more important than anything else right now. And, you know, obviously I had intensive PTSD therapy and all of that alongside, but my good maintenance therapy really is my garden.
Okay. So Caroline, what was your first thing you did? Like, did you build like one box or did you say, I'm going to start with six boxes, or did you pick one crop or did you research, or like, what do you do? How did you get
beds built. I didn't have the physical strength to be, you know, building the garden beds, but I had all of them built at once.
How many beds do you have?
I can shed a little light on Caroline too, to out you a little bit. Like, Caroline's a perfectionist in anything she does. So she researches and she knows, and I'll tell you, she helped me get my little sad, pathetic garden that didn't go very far ready. And she gave me a bunch of seeds because she grows everything from seed, right? And so the few things that actually did sprout up, like, I'd get a tomato.
The weeds?
Yeah. But every now and then I'd get like a piece of okra, or I'd get a tomato or something. But the plants that she grows are so exotic. They weren't the normal color vegetable that I was used to. So basically they would just rot and fall off the vine. Cause I'm like, this tomato is purple. Clearly it's not ready. It's definitely not ready for, you know, picking. Or nothing was like, I was ready for green okra. You know, I got like purple okra, or, you know, orange carrots. Mm-hmm. Like, this one's yellow. This must be bad. So every little bit that she did, I think, was like, you research soil pHs and you grow your own worms. She's a worm farmer.
Oh, no. Let's wait. The garden's beautiful, but let's go behind the scenes. Caroline, why don't you tell them about your basement?
My basement. That's where my grow lights are. So I, you know, get a head start on the season. Don't want to waste any time, right? So I've got a whole seed set up and grow lights and all sorts of containers.
And worm farms? Do you have a worm farm in your house?
Actually, I nixed the worms. I let them die in their bin.
That was probably wise.
And just yesterday ordered a new batch to get started again because it's just fun. I don't even really need them with the soil I have, but it's just fun, especially going to teach a kindergartner class. I mean, I have to show up with
a
box of worms, right?
Worms.
You know? Yes.
Okay, wait. So, Caroline, you hired somebody to build the boxes. You had it all mapped out. You did this all on paper. I mean, and I'm asking honestly because I think our listeners will find it fascinating.
Yes, I designed
it. Because you know that this is sort of my secret fantasy that I will never do. But maybe. I'm not going to say never. Maybe someday I will do this. But like, I don't even know where to start. You did this all on paper before you ever like got on a board or bought a bunch of soil.
Yes. And there are a lot of failures along the way that have, you know, taught me. I've lost a lot of plants and learned from it. So it's not like I just did all the research and knew what I was doing. It's really one of those things. Everybody has their own, you know, the sun is different and, you know, the little microclimate is different in everybody's garden. So there's definitely a longer learning process. But yes, I started by drawing out the beds. It was sort of drawn into the plan, the general space. And then I drew out where I wanted the beds and ordered seeds.
You did everything from seed?
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, there are a couple of things like some flowers that I've put around the garden, you know, but 95-99% of it's from seed. Because there's something very fulfilling about starting something from a seed and nurturing it until it grows into a full plant.
I'm seeing a metaphor here.
I know.
Or if you're like
Graham,
you just let it die.
She's so deep. But like, Caroline,
fall off the vine.
What's the difference between you and Graham? Like, Graham, in my opinion, is kind of awesome. But then I saw her garden and I'm like,
Yes, wasn't it sad? Well, her garden did not have enough love.
Mm-hmm. Didn't. Maybe I was too busy podcasting.
Yeah, she was nurturing a podcast from
gardening.
Seed. No, actually, you know what? We didn't do it from seed.
I know where to forage for good food. I just go to Caroline's house.
Yes. Right, and we didn't do it from seed. We got like a full-fledged plant from Megan Francis.
Well, Kirsten, you know, we've been able, for my family, we've been able to grow all of our vegetables that we need.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you about. Like, how do you think your children, has this, like, changed their diet? Has this changed their willingness to eat vegetables? Are they interested in this at all? Or is this, like, mommy's thing, don't touch?
Nope. They do not eat more vegetables, and it's very unfortunate.
Oh, no.
I know.
I thought they would have eaten more.
I know. I mean, even carrots. The grocery store grows certain varieties that are just packed with sugar. I mean, it's fine. They're healthy. But, you know, they grow hybrid varieties that are, you know, bred for sugar content. And so I've had to grow, like, certain carrots of mine, they'll eat, you know, certain they won't. So I have certain ones I grow for them. I wish it would make them experiment more with vegetables. I've heard a lot of other kids it does. Mine just haven't, unfortunately. So
maybe they're too worried about the urine you're always dumping on your flowers.
Wait, you ruined it.
Oh, okay. Now I got to explain this. We had a little rabbit problem.
This was amazing.
Wait, everything comes full circle. Back to that sweet little baby.
Okay, now I got to tell this story. We had a little rabbit problem. The pest guy was like, well, you know, mature male urine keeps them away. And so I said, well, I've got a mature male in the house. I sent my mature male out to take care of the perimeter of the garden. And you know what? We didn't have a single rabbit.
That's amazing.
After that.
Except her six-year-old thought he could get it out of the action.
We had to nix the six-year-old.
I'm in Caroline's house, right?
And I happen to be in town for this, by the way.
Yeah, I see her son walk by with, like, a watering can.
I know. He got a little out of hand. Let's don't out the six-year-old. Well, he might be embarrassed.
But the worst part was dumps it straight on into a
head of lettuce. Yeah.
Then Caroline cuts the lettuce and serves it to me.
No, I did
you
not.
Did. We ate the lettuce.
I taught you how to cut lettuce. That picture, that pretty picture where y'all are acting like you actually know what to do in a garden.
I know.
Right.
I know.
Behind the scenes.
Okay, but these are the tips that you only get on the home hour. Make your husband pee on your garden. Around.
Which I also find delightful because, like, Caroline lives in a very public area. Like, this is not like a backyard hedged in by anything. It's like full frontal everything. There's no private place to urinate on this.
Full frontal in all the ways.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, Caroline, I've got more gardening questions. You live in a very different climate than I do. Obviously, I'm in more of a desert climate. Like, how do I learn? I could call you and say, Caroline, what do? I want to start a garden. But I feel like it's going to be so different. Like, how do people learn about their localities?
You know, that's a great question because I had bought several gardening books, basic garden books, and they were great, but they were written by somebody who was up in New England. And so that didn't do me much good. And I found that just Google searching is the best. And you can find anything, you know.
Well, I know
people gardening in gardening in Arizona, asking specific questions, threads everywhere, and that's where I found my best information.
Right. And the biggest thing here is the whole country is divided into zones, right? And like they're kind of, I mean, they're different zones. And I think Alabama, we're like zone 6 or zone 7, and you're like a zone 3 or something in Arizona, and basically you can plant for your zone.
Hey, I didn't ask you, Graham. I've seen your garden.
This just brings me back to college.
It totally
the
does.
The good old days of just sitting around chatting.
Today we're being nice to you because you're a guest on our show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wait, Caroline.
Y'all have provided great entertainment for me. I just shake my head.
Okay, so Caroline, what about, like, I think that victory comes from, like, a success, right? You know, you have a success and then you build, you're like, that was great. I'm going to do more of it. What is, like, the best beginner's guide, very forgiving crops to start planting?
It depends on where you are. Lettuce grows like a weed. And, you know, lettuce is one of those things that's really hard to get fresh at the grocery store. It's one of the more, you know, you can get great carrots or something like that. And so lettuces, and they grow in containers. They have shallow roots. They grow quickly, you know. So even if you don't have much space, you could start with lettuce. And
I will say the salad from your house did taste much better. Maybe it was the urine.
It's cut and come again, and you can try different kinds. You can even grow them in your planters as decorative, like decorative kale, and eat it. So if you want your planters to look really decorated, you can do that. You can grow it in a very decorative way and still make it edible.
Okay, so Caroline, getting back to kind of the therapeutic element, right? You're growing, you're harvesting, you're starting from seed, you're getting your hands dirty. Mm-hmm. I mean, I assume to an extent, you mean we just talked about kind of your muscle weakness and how you really had to not only build back physically, but you had mentally, but you had to build back physically. I mean, I can picture you out in the garden. Like, it's not easy work gardening. It probably brought you back alive mentally and physically.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good way to put it. It was definitely good exercise for me, considering how out of shape I was. You know, it's not running a marathon or anything. You know, and also I found that there's so many great analogies to some, you know, to life in general in the garden. You know, I think such as, you know, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger, which, you know, I was at a real, real low point with my injury. And, you know, just funny little things, like things I didn't know before. But like, as we learned when we compared Graham's garden and my garden, you know, exposure to elements and, you know, harsh elements and such actually make a plant physically stronger. So like my garden is a little bit up. It gets great sun, but it's up a little bit and has more wind exposure. And so, you know, in early spring, the winds are like beating down my tomato plants. And when you compare a picture of my tomato plants to Graham's, I'm sure there are other factors involved now.
Like the mites.
Like just general TLC. Yeah. My plant stems were what? 4 or 5 times thicker.
10 times thicker.
They were totally different plant. So, you know, I mean, think about it. You know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. You know, a little beating. Thickens your stem, I guess.
Thickens your skin.
You know what? I went wine tasting like last spring, and I have to say, I think you're totally right. Like,
oh, when you talk about grapes too, I think, you know, certain harsh conditions that don't actually kill things do actually add taste. So, for example, a carrot. Carrots actually concentrate their sugars in a freeze to lower their freezing temperature and protect them, and that concentrated sugar makes a sweeter carrot. So a carrot that's grown in a comfortable, warm environment is a bitter carrot, and a carrot harvested after a freeze is a very sweet carrot, you know? What's
so
another
you
one?
Are the carrot that was harvested
I am the carrot
freeze.
That was harvested after.
In case nobody's picking up on that.
And then, you know, another thing I learned is when you totally chop something down, like when Graham totally chops a lettuce plant at the very bottom instead of picking the outer leaves, you know, when you think there's nothing left of that plant and it's chopped down to its stump, you know, and you think all hope is lost, a new and a stronger plant will often grow from it. How about that, Graham?
Whoa,
you translate
you
that one.
Dropping it, Caroline. I can't even touch that.
I learned that from fennel this year, too. Literally, a new plant grows out of the stump. And so that's why it's important that you grow a healthy root system as much as you focus on growing healthy or good-looking leaves. So your roots are more important than your leaves, Graham. Why don't you interpret that one?
Wow.
Your foundation.
Who knew all these years?
I think Caroline's throwing some secret garden barbs, by the way.
I know. I can't tell if she's totally insulting you. I mean, I don't know what's going on.
I love you, Graham.
For anyone who's listening to our show, because sometimes Kirsten and I get dinged for being mean to each other, we have known Caroline.
We all love each other, and that's why we can do this.
Yeah, we were all in each other's weddings.
Dear friend.
Well.
Let's don't go there.
If you made it to the ceremony.
Or all the way down the aisle and couldn't quite make it any further. Okay, we won't get on the gram with that one. Okay, so another one that's actually very important and practical gardening advice is, you know, and this is a great saying, I'm going to go ahead and say it. A bad gardener grows weeds, a good gardener grows plants, and a very good gardener grows soil. So really, the soil that you grow in is the most important part of your garden and keeping that soil healthy, which is, I could go on and on about that. But if you are going to start a home garden, that's the most important first step, is to make sure you have good soil. And we're fortunate in Birmingham to have
free soil,
free compost from leaves.
It's really amazing. In our town, basically, they'll come, they pick up the leaves. That's part of the kind of the mm-hmm. garbage disposal service here. They pick up your leaves. You can just leave them at the curb at the end of every season. And this is the most, I've never in my life heard of a town that does this. It really is. It makes Mountain Brook even more remarkable. They bring all the leaves out to kind of just a facility located somewhere that the city owns. And what they do is they turn it and turn it and turn it and pile it and pile it and pile it. And they actually have it divided by years. And it's free to all residents. All you have to do is just show up and just bring a truck or buckets or whatever you want, and they will, you know, give you this amazing nutrient-rich compost. And it just blows my mind that they do something like that, because that's really unique, I would say.
But what does that mean in your life, Caroline?
I don't think I have meaning.
I know what it means. It means Graham's the one who introduced her to this free soil. So yet again, score Graham.
you planted a friendship of soil, and well, years
your environment,
later,
your environment, a healthy right. environment. Is needed for a healthy person? I don't know.
We had a good time. We've got to get back to gardening. Those were a couple fun days when we found our dirt, when we worked in my yard. That was really fun. We might have to wrap this podcast up so we can go play in my yard a little bit, Kirsten.
All right, Caroline, you're not done. Your story's not done. What's your next step?
So right now, Kristen Piscucci with Birth Monopoly and Katie Rogers, who's a film director, are in the process of creating a film, not about me, more my story as a launching point. Kimberly, y'all don't know Kim's story. She's a woman in Southern California who held her doctor accountable for cutting her against her consent, without her consent. We're going to have a film basically that highlights the issue of obstetric abuse and brings in other women's stories. And I could go on and on about that. But Kristen and Katie just got back from Sundance Film Festival, and I'm waiting to hear an update from them. And if you follow Birth Monopoly's Facebook page, you can get more updates on that, because we would love to collect stories from women across the country, including y'all's stories. So if you follow that page, you can learn more about the film and, tell us your story too.
Yeah. And also if anyone wants to share, if anyone has anything, we'll certainly pass it along. If you just send us an email, hello@thehomehour.com, if you were so inclined, don't feel like you need to, but if there's something that you feel that you might want Caroline to know about, because she's certainly an advocate for women's rights, in birthing, then we will certainly pass that along to her.
And I don't have any information I can show you. We have a teaser in the works, but I don't have any information right now. But very soon I will.
But if you're following us on Instagram at the Home Hour, when that teaser comes out, we will link to it, because we want to follow up with that. And we are taping this show before it airs, so maybe it'll be ready by then. But truthfully, we've tried to describe this garden too. We've tried to describe the change in Caroline. If I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I would still not believe when she said, "My garden saved my life." But man, it's incredible. You've built just a beautiful family, a beautiful home, and a garden that is just, you got to see it. So we'll link to pictures in the show notes. And Caroline, thank you for sharing your story with us. It was so fun to talk to you. And truly, like, I think everybody has their own struggles. Everybody has their own stories, but it's just really cool what you've done. So thanks for inspiring our listeners.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Welcome home.